Good morning. What you've been listening to are actual statements from brothers and sisters who have been participating in the Celebrate Recovery Ministry that we launched here a couple of months ago. Now, these are impact stories. These are stories about how God has used this instrument of Celebrate Recovery to bring about change and freedom in people's lives. And so I asked Nick to read the gentleman's testimonies and Amy to read the lady's stories. And as you listened to these stories, our hope is that you understand that there is power in Jesus Christ to change, to find wholeness, and to be free. Celebrate Recovery, as we said at the beginning of this series, today we're in the third and final message of this series, Growing in Christ. And today's message, You Can Be Free. Celebrate Recovery helps people with their hurts. In other words, hurts in the past that continue to have an impact, a negative impact on relationships with other people and ultimately relationships with Christ, habits, addictions of any kind, not just the ones that we might commonly think of, substance abuse addictions, but any kind of addictions that get in the way of our relationship with Christ, and our hang-ups, which are attitudes, emotional issues as well, that interfere with our relationship with Jesus and with people that we care about in our lives. And today we want to focus on the message that in Christ there is freedom to be found. Celebrate Recovery is not just about recovery. It's really about being disciples of Jesus Christ. It's about dealing with those things in our lives, as Christ always asks us to do, dealing with those things in our lives that get in the way from us being the kind of followers that He calls us to be. Now, oftentimes, you'll hear comments in CR like I wish the church could be more like this in terms of the honesty, the vulnerability, and the trustworthiness. But the truth is, when you're involved in Celebrate Recovery, you are the church, no matter where you are. You are the church being the church in that setting. And I think what people mean is it would be great if all of our relationships in Christ and in all of our settings in Christ, we could have this kind of encouragement, this kind of fellowship. And so in this series, we've been trying to learn some lessons from CR for the rest of us. And certainly, we would encourage anyone who's struggling with a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, anything that's getting in the way of your relationship of following Jesus, the way that you feel we are called to follow, to become a part of Celebrate Recovery, at least come out on a Friday evening at 7 o'clock and give it a try. It's not the only answer to being made whole in Christ. I want to emphasize that. The power is always in God through Christ, and this is just one way that we're trying to follow Jesus more genuinely, more authentically, and to help people with those things that are getting in the way of their relationship with Christ. In Mark chapter 5, there's a familiar story of a man who's possessed of a legion of demons. In fact, when Christ confronts the man and the demons, they collectively identify themselves as legion. This man was to encounter him, to approach him, to be approached by him was a frightening, frightening thing. And the text tells us that at one point, the people in the nearby village had even tried to physically restrain this man. But the demonic presence within him was so strong that he broke the physical bonds. But even though he was able to break those bonds, the truth is, spiritually, he was still in bondage. He was still in bondage to that demonic presence and power. And then Christ came into his life. And Christ rebuked the demons. They came out of him. And the text tells us later that when the people of the village came back, they found the man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And that's what Jesus can do for people. It's what he can do for us. And then later, as Jesus and the disciples are getting in a boat and they're getting ready to leave the area, that man comes up to Jesus. He wants to get in the boat. He wants to go with him. And Jesus said, "No, I've got something else for you to do. Go back and tell your family how the Lord has had mercy on you." A big part of Celebrate Recovery is celebrating the work of God in our lives and telling the story, as you heard just a moment ago, sharing with others the power of God to bring freedom and wholeness and forgiveness to our lives. Go and tell your family how the Lord has had mercy on you, what great things the Lord has done. So I've invited my brother, Grant Forrest, and your brother, Grant Forrest, just to share with us for a few moments his story, celebrating the freedom that he's found through Christ and celebrating the work of God in his life. Grant?
Father, you've given me only one gospel and only one testimony. So help me to share it with boldness and in truth. Thank you. My name is Grant, and I am a follower of Christ who is recovering from pornography addiction and struggles with selfishness. There's the CR people. Before we begin, I know testimony is a big thing in CR, but it may not be as familiar to y'all. So I want to explain what I'm doing up here. I'm not here to confess my sins, although a good portion of my testimony involves that confession. But everything I'm about to tell you, I've already confessed to God and to people I trust back in step 5 out of 12. The point of my testimony is not to get my sins off my chest. It's to share and celebrate the unbelievable work that God has done in my life and the hope I found in recovery. Also, I meant to have my email address in the bulletin, but I didn't end up doing that. So I'm hopefully going to send out an update with that and as well maybe put it in next week. If you have any questions or comments or just want to talk, I'll be available. My testimony is not a story about me learning how to overcome the temptation of pornography by my own power. In fact, step one says the opposite. We admitted we were powerless and that our lives had become unmanageable. I was powerless over that temptation the moment it entered into my life. I grew up in a wonderful home, the son of two incredible Christian parents, the kind that make it easy to keep the fifth commandment. I don't recall any traumatic events or circumstances that would have led to my addiction. But one thing I've come to realize is that even a normal life is unmanageable without God. I grew up knowing scripture, but I never fully understood the power of the gospel or what it meant to have a real personal relationship with Christ. So when the stress and confusion of adolescence came, I found a different way to cope. I started using porn. Like most kids these days, I encountered it by accident on the internet when I was young, maybe 12. It was a confusing and scary thing at first. I didn't know if I should tell someone what happened. I wasn't even sure what had happened. So I hid the encounter away, and that was the first link in a chain of shame which would grow longer throughout my life. A year or so later, sexuality was less of a confusion and more of a curiosity, developing into an obsession. Having had that initial encounter, I knew how to find what I was looking for. And as a kid who always had an affinity for computers, I knew how to cover my tracks from the start. I tried to resist temptation for a long time, but I didn't have any tools to win that fight. The stress and helplessness I felt in my life continued to wear me down. I was once an energetic and carefree middle schooler, but as high school came around, I retreated from others and felt isolated and unwelcome. My parents told me that working hard in school and participating in extracurriculars would help me succeed in my future, and they were right. But these things just felt like burdens and drudgery to me. The kinds of stresses I was facing were nothing out of the ordinary for a teenager. But I had become dependent on my addiction so early on just to feel okay, and that had prevented me from learning any healthy coping mechanisms. It was all I had. Meanwhile, my pride was growing out of control. I hated failing. I didn't want to try anything that would leave me vulnerable. I wanted to be the best at what I did, and if I couldn't, I didn't want to do it. Although I can say that now, I didn't understand it at the time. All I felt back then was that I was always a little sad, always a little tired, always a little angry, and I never knew why or how to talk about it. Porn was my coping mechanism. It helped me keep those feelings at bay. As my usage developed into an addiction, I entered into the insane reality of an addict. In high school, I was basically using daily, even sneaking downstairs in the middle of the night. I didn't enjoy what I did. I hated it. It filled me with shame. But porn was one of the only tools I had in my life to cope. Even when I was feeling ashamed, I knew I could escape that feeling for a little while by using again. And the cycle continued into my college years. I successfully kept my addiction a secret, even as it grew and made its mark on my dating relationships. And to be honest, I didn't find any hope that things would get better, even in the church. Porn wasn't brought up too often, but I saw books like Every Man's Battle going around, and I assumed that everyone was basically fighting a losing battle like me. That turned out to be a very effective lie to tell myself. Every time I took communion, all I could think about was my own failings, week after week. Spiritually, I was stuck in a raging river, clinging desperately to rocks. The greatest spiritual achievement I could ever imagine for myself would be to get out of that river. I had no higher aspirations, but God did. I graduated college and moved into working life. I was still managing to hold my mask together. Meanwhile, even the spiritual energy of youth group had long since left my heart. After a long and slow decline, I began to cross barriers with a girlfriend, which I hadn't before, and I justified it because I didn't go as far as I could have. As I gained more and more independence in my life, I began to listen to more of the world's promises. The world was telling me that God's expectations were stifling and unrealistic, and that I would find freedom and happiness by relaxing my old-fashioned morals. This is a lie. The further I pursued freedom and sexuality, the more of a slave I became to it. Now I understand why Christ said in John 8, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin." There was a lie which had formed in my heart, which is one of the core beliefs of sex addiction, that sex was my most important need. Everything in the world around me seemed to confirm that belief. Under the influence of that lie, I could no longer imagine a life without sexual gratification. As this obsession collided with my faith, it took on a clever disguise. I longed to be married. And while it might have been acceptable in church, in reality, I was setting myself up for an utter failure, a marriage based only on pursuing my own addiction to my own misery. Thankfully, God took action. My girlfriend at that time left me. I didn't realize it, but she was struggling with her own problems, which I was completely blind to, and leaving was the right decision. But to me, it just hurt. I could only think about myself. I felt abandoned and grew bitter, but this time I was determined not to fall back to porn. I gripped my teeth and used that bitterness to fuel my resolve. But for the next half year, I resisted temptation on my own will. But even though I wasn't using porn during this time, I was not getting better. In fact, the low point in my life had only just started. Bitterness evolved into anger and obsession. Although the woman I'd been dating had long since blocked my number in social media, I tried desperately and repeatedly to contact her in order to manipulate her into changing her decision. To this day, I'm unsure of the effect I had on her, but I know that the way I acted was harmful and without excuse. I can only hope she never got most of my messages. It was during this time I truly began to feel insane. Eventually, my willpower crumbled, and I relapsed. So I went to therapy. All I knew was that I wanted something to change. I didn't know how it was going to happen, and God was waiting for me there. My therapist confronted me on my addictive behavior with grace and compassion. I was scared to go to the first session, and then I walk in, and one of the first things he asked me is, "Grant, would you ever use porn at work?" I said, "No." "Yes, why not?" "Well, they monitor the network, and according to my contract, I'd be fired." He said, "So you never use at work because you signed a contract, and you don't think you've signed a contract with God." And that stung. But at the same time, it was exhilarating and eye-opening. I remember thinking, this guy is actually going to help me. My therapist was the first man I talked to about porn who told me without hesitation that it could be overcome for good through the power of Christ. And that's the same message I carry today in my testimony. The change was gradual. I stumbled many times. But I was in the process of reorienting my core beliefs, which I'd learned over the most formative years of my life. I would slowly move from believing that sex was my most important need into the peace and order of a life where God is my only need. It was during this time that I also finally told my parents what was going on. For all my childhood, my greatest fear was for my parents to know who I really was. But when I finally confessed to them, I received the response I now understand was always waiting for me, the same love and support that God had been longing to pour out on me as well. I began to realize that confession is a blessing, not a punishment. Every time I tell my story, I feel more free. There was a lot of hard work during that year of my life. I tried everything I could find, group therapy, 12-step, books about addiction, prayer and study. But it wasn't my work that made the difference. God's Spirit was working in me. I still remember the therapy session when I first realized the miracle that had occurred in my life. For the first time, I could confidently and peacefully say that I could live the rest of my life, single or married, without ever turning again to sexual sin. I didn't overcome my temptation. God removed me from it through His grace. Now I understand why Christ said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I would not have believed it if I had not experienced it for myself. I used to read 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's a familiar passage. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll provide a way out. I used to think that the way out was willpower, like you can always turn off the computer. But now I realize I will never have the willpower to fight temptation on my own, and I don't need to. Recovery is the process of reconnecting to God and His power to free me from sin. Recovery was God's way out for me. When I stopped focusing on not looking at porn each day and started focusing on knowing Christ and living through His Spirit, He moved the mountain of my temptation with a single word. And now I've been sober for almost 2 years. That was God's first great gift to me through recovery. The second is my relationship to Christ. When I was young, my whole faith was inside my head. I knew some scripture, I studied apologetics, and I remained haunted by the fact that I was not living up to my beliefs. Through recovery, Jesus drew me into a real, personal, spiritual relationship with Himself. I remember the night I finally met Jesus. I was reading through John, and I reached the 14th chapter, where He's comforting His disciples before His death. For the first time, I read that chapter and felt the love of Christ in His words. Ever since I was baptized, I'd always been afraid that I'd not receive the Spirit. But when I read those words, I felt the presence of that same love in me, echoing the same words. And in that moment, it was like He looked at me and knew me and loved me. I learned that as important as it is to know about Christ, the real blessing is to know Him and be known by Him. The third gift of recovery is my marriage. Because of the work recovery that God is doing in me, He has prepared me to experience the joy of being a faithful husband. This is another gift of grace, which I would have never had by my own power. It's not because I'm a good man that I can say I've been faithful throughout my marriage. It's because I've been shown mercy by a good God. In addition to gifts, recovery has also brought challenges. In all my story I've related so far, I haven't actually mentioned Celebrate Recovery yet. In fact, I became involved in CR after God blessed me in these ways. There's a common theme when people talk about joining CR. They'll say something like, "I thought I was going to support my friend, but actually I realized CR can help me with my anxiety." For me, it's that I thought I was joining the CR team to help others overcome pornography. Then I realized I have a selfishness problem. Just by attending meetings and working through 12 steps, I've come to realize that I withhold my time from God and from others and use it all on myself. I still have barriers between me and God, and I still have a lot of growing to do. And that's a good thing to learn, because I know if I continue to work the program, I will become more like Christ. Recovery worked for me once, and it will continue to work as long as I pursue Christ. When I was a slave to my addiction, I thought my life's work would be to get out of the raging river. And then at just 25 years old, God reached down and pulled me out. That doesn't mean I reached perfection. This is only the beginning. Now that I'm out of the river and free of the chaos of my addiction, I finally looked up to see the start of the path that God laid out for me. It's not an easy path, and I'm not walking it as quickly as I'd like, but I praise Him that at least my feet are on solid ground. I'll wrap up with this. I'm not an outlier. I'm not special. I'm not particularly capable at fighting temptation. I did nothing to boast about. God worked a miracle in me to His own glory. Addicts aren't the only ones who might need a miracle to bring order and peace back to their lives. Maybe you struggle with selfishness and pride like I do. Celebrate Recovery might be the place to find your miracle. If nothing else, I'd say try something. Christ did not finish his work on the cross for us to remain slaves to sin. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He's willing and he's able. Thank you for letting me share.
I hope you can appreciate how much, not just how much courage that involved, but how much trust was also involved in what Grant just did. In trusting himself to all of us. But the one thing that I really appreciated about Grant's story is a continual focus that he placed on Jesus as being the key to his wholeness and his recovery. It's only Jesus. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And obviously that begins with sin. Christ releases us from the bondage to our sin because of his own death and resurrection. But I believe that Christ can also bring freedom to us in other ways. It can release us from other kinds of bondage, from ways that sin continues to be expressed and to reassert itself into our lives. And it's not just addictions such as Grant's, but perhaps my addiction is work. Perhaps my addiction is food or the approval of other people. Maybe it's not even an addiction that I struggle with that holds me in bondage. Maybe it's an emotional issue, anxiety, and others. Or perhaps it's a hurt that has affected me so profoundly that it harms and continues to harm over and over again my relationships with the people closest to me. And I just don't know how to break out of that cycle. Christ can make you free. And the thing is, if you choose to participate in Celebrate Recovery, that's wonderful. And to experience that as one way of coming to know Christ's freedom, so be it. But the good news is that it doesn't have to be that. The good news is that right here, you can begin to experience this profound biblical truth that if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It begins with a decision to let Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand as we customarily do. David is going to lead us in a song of encouragement. During that time, two of our shepherds will be down front to receive anyone who would like to share, confess, make a commitment. There will also be prayer circles gathering around our auditorium. There will be facilitators there. And if there is something that is burdening you that you feel compelled to share, you feel the need to share, if you just need somebody to pray with you, not anybody to try to fix you in those 5 or 6 minutes, but just need someone to pray with you and to pray for you. One of our values as a church is to pray in all things. What I'm trying to say is, Jesus is here for you today. And one way that he manifests his presence is through his people. And if we can help you to begin to find the freedom that is in Christ, we would be blessed to be able to do nothing more than that. Just know this truth. If the Son makes you free, then you really are free. Let's stand and encourage each other in song.